8:46, let's call to order the Board of Equal, the Board of Supervisors. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is the consent agenda, and the consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of the minutes of the meeting held May 1st, 2013, approval of all claims through May 15th, 2013, in the amount of $1,182,766.63, approval in place on file all correspondence received, approved clerk of the district court and register of deeds fee report for the month of April 2013. Approved utility permit 953 to Diller Telephone for the installation of a fiber optic line located on the south section of Section 32, Township 2 North, Range 5 East in Elm Township, and located in the north half of Section 5, Township 1 North, 5 Range East in Glenwood Township. And approval of the bond for Paddock Township Clerk. And I think I read this one.
63.
Oh. Okay, then you're okay. Was that correct?
Yep, I just wrote one.
For the record, was that correct?
I didn't hear the first part. I'm just 63.
Okay, so that's what consists on the consent agenda. I need a motion to approve or disapprove.
So moved.
Moved by Setzer to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. I'll just say, Myron, you want to comment on the dollar amount there of claims is $1.1 million. That's quite a bit higher than we've had in the past. Maybe discuss.
We had some transfers. We did transfer from the general fund of the road and bridge $264,154.86. That's road and bridge sinking. And that was part of what was planned all in the budget, and we're transferring that now.
Three different funds that will be transferred in.
Yeah, and then we also transferred from the general fund to the insurance fund, $50,000, general fund to the county building fund of $50,000, and then from inheritance fund to the insurance fund of $50,000, and the inheritance fund to the insurance fund of $50,000. And that will put the insurance fund and the building fund, I believe, both $200,000. And the sinking fund will be at $1,149,274, the road and bridge sinking fund. That's what that puts that to.
And there's bond interest payments in that figure also.
Bond interest payments in there too also. And then the one other thing I wanted to comment on there was there was a $7,500 bill for NERMA, and that is our deductible for the Elliott Hawkins process, what they're going through or whatever. That's the county's deductible, so that's been paid because the bill was considerable more than that. So
I just comment on the insurance fund, the sinking fund of $200,000. That was a recommendation by our insurance carriers several years ago. It was to have 20% of your projected gross expense, and so we'll have to decide in the budget if we want to put any more in that. We've taken, I think, about 3 years to get there. Mm-hmm. So that'll just basically be our reserve fund or our sinking fund in case there's an outlier because we're self-funded. So I don't know that we would put any more in there, but that was a recommendation of why that fund got that high. And I think it's a good idea, and I think they should be happy with how we have that now. All right, any more discussion? Thanks, Meyer. We have a motion and a second. If there's no further discussion, vote. 7-0 to approve. All right, move on to the regular agenda, and we'll ask for comments from the public and request for future agenda items for anything not on the agenda currently in discussion. A couple gentlemen out there, but they're here for another purpose. Seeing none, jump into committee reports. First is building and grounds.
Nothing.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Talked about that a little bit. Myron, you want to talk about Finance Committee? What did you have going on there?
Finance Committee. We starting to get some meetings or discussions with some people. Don sent some things out, I believe, to most of the departments for our budget, starting to work on that. Visited with a couple of those already about what they're perceiving their budget. Gus has talked to me, too, a little bit about that, and hopefully we can start here in the next few weeks or, well, next 2 months we will have that done or whatever and everything. So trying to think of what else we at finance. The one thing, did have a meeting. Bill lined up a meeting with Tobias and some people from their advisory group, and Bill DeMuth did. As far as we had this Project North, and then how that didn't come about and how that didn't get funded, you know, we were going to have a loan to them. And the reason Bill set up a meeting with Tobias and some of the and the mayor was there and was for a discussion of so the Engage board could understand what kind of guidelines the city had as far as developing these loan proposals. And one of the things that I took out of that meeting was they kept asking, well, what does the county have? And I says, well, you bring it to the board and then we'll decide. You know, we don't have any guidelines per se like the LB 840 has those guidelines. Hope to get something. I'll start looking at those and maybe get some kind of ideas or proposals, or people have some, you know, so that the Engage board has a better understanding of some company comes and they have maybe these qualifications and they can tell them, well, you don't fall within the guidelines that the city or the county have. Because right now, we don't per se have any guidelines that I'm aware of, unless somebody else is. If some of these proposals would be coming forward, bring them to the county board, bring them to the committee, finance committee, we'll discuss them and then go forward with them. Don't know if we need any guidelines, though, either for that. I'll make that comment, but at the same time, you know, the city does have LB 840 funds that they would be using. They have a set of guidelines. They have an advisory committee that has to go through first to make sure they meet all of those guidelines, and then they forward it onto the city council. We don't have any process like that.
Well, we probably should develop a program. And if in the past we've designated economic development funds, arbitrarily put in a dollar amount, but really had no program to approve or disapprove. So it probably makes sense that we come up with even – not to be too verbose, but you just, you know, maybe a page or two of qualifications in the process that we go through. If we're going to designate a certain number of funds, there's a process to go through. So that when someone comes and asks us, we don't say, well, we don't know. I think a program or a process to go through, and then when we budget X amount of dollars per year, we can say, this is what we have. This is the process you go through. So hopefully we can go off what the city has. And
you know, because we part of the discussion that day did center on too that, you know, one of the areas where we would take that out of is from an inheritance fund, you know, and then, well, they ask how much is in there, tell them, and they go, oh, and I go, no, I said, that's not all going to be used for economic development. I mean, that's kind of, you know, a fund that the county has that we're careful how we allocate those dollars or whatever and stuff, but. Yeah, we don't have an LB 840, so there's other aspects we have to look at. But at the same time, I believe we need to be, you know, active or be supportive of proposals like some of these that come about and support some of these, you know, economic development things that come about.
And we could develop a fund, too, as part of the program and fund that over a period of years. And when it gets to a certain point, cap it so we're not continuing to fund that and say, here's this designated dollar amount here through the program that's eligible. And then throughout a calendar year, when it's gone, and we would at least know that we designated that much. Probably need to have something.
One of the things and it didn't come about, but Adams with a new fire barn up there, Bill had worked with the USDA for they have economic development grants. And a whole lot of paperwork to go through it and get it. And Adams up there was going to apply for that, and then things just didn't work out. But part of that, if a company is eligible and if things would work out, part of that economic development, it would have been a $300,000 loan. But when that loan was, it all comes from the USDA, but when that loan's repaid back, the sponsoring, and Norris had some interest in sponsoring it, but it, like I said, it didn't work out. The sponsoring company, that money would go back in a revolving loan amount. So it's not like a $300,000 one-time loan. It was almost a multiplier or whatever, because as that would have been paid back over a period of years, that went in a separate fund, and now that could be used or should have been used for future economic development programs, which would have been a huge impact. Like Matt said, you know, if we had a X number of dollar fund over here that we have a revolving, basically kind of a revolving loan fund, if we had that built up, then you know that as that's paid back over a year or period of years, that money can be back allocated back out again. We don't have anything like that.
Just out of curiosity, what was the wall in between us and USDA? What happened to that?
Well, Bill could talk more about that. The Adams Fire Barn up there in the USDA, it just there was a lot of things that just didn't come together with that USDA grant application or whatever. I know part of it was there had to be a $60,000 match from companies, or from individuals, not I shouldn't say individuals, from
like Dan, Bill Demuth, Engage, yeah. And there's probably three things that impacted it. One, the project was brought to our attention, and the idea of applying for USDA funds came about because of the project being brought to our attention. The time frame was short, but I was familiar with how those grants worked and saw the opportunity to establish a revolving loan fund. However, there are matching dollars that are required and an entity that would apply. So there was some timing issues with that that didn't work as well. It could have been it may have been better that there was some sharing of the matching, which there was an appetite for, but the timing didn't really give us enough time to put that in place. And then thirdly, We had just one option as far as an applicant goes to apply for these funds. As a result of this process, we now have two and actually a third, which is a backup. So we did gain from it, and we're actually having a presentation on Friday on these funds, and a community county, Dawson, that has used it very successfully. They've gained over $1 million of USDA funds for economic development purposes, and including the press, you're all welcome to attend, as long as you're nice, to our guest on Friday at noon at Engage 218 North, and I believe I've made that communicated that to some members, but you're all certainly welcome to attend that. So we continue to work on it. There's a little bit of a learning curve, and I've probably spoken too long, but Southeast Nebraska Development District is also involved. So I think you'll see some positive things come in the future. So all's not lost.
No, and we had three or four, or maybe more meetings. I know Bill had more meetings than that. We had three or four meetings with a lot of the Southeast Nebraska District. One of those guys was going to do a lot of the paperwork and all that, but probably the main issue was the timing, just because of the fact that they were ready to build up there. And yep. It would have been great to start this process a year before they wanted to build. Yep. Then I think it would have had a lot better possibility of occurring. But there was different guidelines in there you had to meet and stuff. And
they weren't willing to wait.
No, they're moving dirt now.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah.
Yep. Missed opportunity, but more to come.
But so. Missed opportunity, but also learned a lot from it. And I know Bill has some good contacts now with people to help go forward. And there will be another project sometime here somebody will want to go with and stuff. So.
Well, I'm sure there has to be a model somewhere of other counties that are in the same situation with us, working with the city, that we can use as far as our guidelines are concerned, and I'm certain that we could come up with something similar to the city's, maybe not exactly the same, but...
That would be a good opportunity on Friday, because it's three municipalities in Dawson County that applied for the funds, so...
Good. 902, I'll interrupt here, and I'm going to invite forward the Veterans Service Officer, Phil Dittbrenner, to present and do our Veteran Honor Program for this month.
Morning. Well, this morning we don't have a veteran here, but we do have one that was selected. His name is Milton Cunihusa from Barnston, Nebraska. He served in the U.S. Army from 1942 to 1944. An interesting thing about Cooney is that he, when he went into the Army during World War II, he was 31 years old. Cooney just had his 103rd birthday on May 6th, and then he had a turn for the worse, so he's now down in Good Sam in Wymore. What we're going to do is Friday, we're going to go down to Good Sam in Wymore, myself and Delmer Gertis of the Veterans Service Committee, and anyone else who would like to come down to present him with his certificate. So just a little bit about his history. He was, again, he joined when he was 31 years old and going to World War II. Was set to go to Germany, but a chickenpox epidemic infiltrated his platoon, and their orders were canceled. Later, they had orders to go to Japan, and during training prior to that, Milton fell into a foxhole requiring back surgery and was classified disabled at that time. He remained in the States and then was honorably discharged after that. He's been a member of the Legion for 69 years down there. So, Milton Cunihusa from Barnston.
All right. Well, what time are you going down on Friday? If any?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock on Friday, we'll be down there. So
in Wymore.
Wymore. So if anybody would like to come down, that would be great.
All right. Thank you very much, Phil. That illustrates why we should do these things. These men and women, as they get older, they're
just
fading away.
On his birthday, on the 6th, he was doing fine, and then he just had a turn for the worse. So.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. Thank you very much. Oh well, Bill. Demuth, next time they do it, do your quarterly report. Oh, I'm sorry. What did I jumped. Stay put. So I go back to committee reports. Yes, sorry. Were you done? I jumped in because we had a 9 o'clock.
Done.
Thank you. Sorry. Human Resource Employee Relation?
Yes. I met with Dawn, and she has been working very diligently on the new employee handbook. And, you know, it seems crazy that you have to have a document this big to give to somebody when you hire them, but that's kind of what law and insurance is kind of getting to right now. I think we're working really hard on getting everybody compliant with the handbook, and after we get the handbook finished and approved, we may need to go back in and make an addendum or change for the highway department on some things such as callback time, the way some of their overtime and things are accumulated. We need to possibly look at them a little bit differently from some of the others. And, but I guess we're just working really hard to get this finished so we can get everybody compliant with it. That's all I got.
Last time was, you say that's all, but that's quite a little bit.
I know. I started reading through this after I got it, and it's like going through trying to absorb it, and I really don't know how Dawn keeps straight, because when you look at it, there's all kinds of different colors, and the different colors mean different things. You know, some of it is is from NERMA. Some of it is added. Some is changed.
Now, basically, any changes like in the highway department, if we're going to do anything for overtime or what have you, we need approval from the board to be able to do that.
That is my understanding, because otherwise everybody has to follow the handbook unless there's a specific change to the handbook.
Basically, Don's been spirited in this thing, but the idea is to have all of the employees covered in the courthouse by the same guidelines.
Not just the courthouse, but within the county.
And again, right. Everything is subject to this board approving what the elected officials bring to you after we all try and get a consensus.
Right, it's not like, I'm working for the clerk's office, but I heard the registrar's office has a better deal, so I want to move down there. And, you know, it's like everybody should be following the same rules and guidelines. And everybody gets paid the same on the same day. Everybody accumulates benefits the same. If there has to be, such as I know we talked about last time, a callback differential for the highway department, because most other departments don't have emergency blizzards or something like this where they would have to be called back on an emergency basis. Most other departments or offices can wait until their next scheduled shift, but occasionally there is something with the highway department, so we may have to look at something just a little bit differently on that. But otherwise, everybody should be going by the handbook just as it is written.
A couple of weeks ago, Terry and I, we'd gone down to the highway department to visit with the employees, and we had 100% turnout, I believe. Everybody was there and answered some of the questions about filling out the time card, how important it is for them to do that correctly, get it in there. We did address some of the callback issue in the employee handbook, and that is where that's how we're working as all employees, and that if there is a creation of some sort of prevalent practice, if it's in conflict with the handbook and it's not been approved, the handbook has been approved. That's what it is. So we had to reinforce some of those things, and there's some policies, again, that call back on some of those things. Because the work is a little bit different, not a little bit, it is different, we need to look at those things differently and make sure those things are written down.
Yes, anything that is not in the handbook, unless, as Don has in here a couple times, unless it conflicts with state or federal law, this is it. This is how we pay. This is the way it all works.
Any more discussion? I know we'd visited some time ago about time card, getting into a system like that, because right now it's everybody writes in their own, and I know there was doing some data collection there.
The individual I contacted, we've been playing phone tag for a couple of days, so I've got some basic information from another county that's working with it right now.
Well, that's something we've talked about, and it's not a new conversation. I think the first year I was on the board, we get to a time card system countywide. So, anything else, Kathy?
That's it.
All right, thank you. Law enforcement.
On Gus's end, we had one deer collision with a cruiser. I don't think it was major damage by any means.
Deer lost.
Yeah. Yeah, deer suicide. Yeah, but as far as the vehicle goes, it's operational. Yep. And then I guess the other thing we discussed was the jail director's position and the applications. Gus is working through those at this time, trying to figure out where he's going with that. So, on the emergency management side, LEOP's coming along. I believe it was end of this week. Mark and Joe were going to be going up to Lincoln to work through some of that with NEMA. Sounds like everything's going really good. The coming week, I believe, was when Mark and Joe were looking at going to doing some training. I forgot to have Mark to come up and talk to us about that. But I'll fill you in on that as Mark gives us emails out. But there was some training coming up for Mark and Joe on the NIMS training program. They got to get 20 hours of training, continued training in. and there were some opportunities for him to get that hit up here pretty soon. So that pretty well covers it.
Ms. Kathy?
If Gary's done, I would like to make one more comment on HR. We've been talking a lot about doing a new handbook, but that does not mean that we don't have a handbook. We do have a handbook that has been approved by the board, and until the new one is approved, then we go by the previous handbook. It's not like there's nothing out there for guidelines.
Go back to it's relative to law enforcement or emergency management. We met yesterday morning with the city regarding our 911 communications agreement. They provide dispatch for the entire county, and we met with representatives from the city, and there'll be an agreement. We made some changes on. They're going to take that back, redraft that, get it to Mark. Mark will then get that to Roger. We'll look at it in 2 weeks, and then we'll vote sometime in June. So we'll get that draft agreement. We've talked about it in committee. There is a significant cost increase. We wanted to have the discussion on that, so we'll get that agreement coming in the next couple weeks to get a chance to look at that. Now the small one, Road and Bridge.
As Matt addressed earlier, on May 7th, Matt and myself had a meeting with the Highway Department employees concerning timesheets and their 40-hour week. I think everything went well. I think everybody now understands, the practices that have to be done down there. Also talked about requests to implement new title changes at the same time. We'll be looking at that before the next budget year. Hopefully we'll have that done. At our Road and Bridge meeting, Mark Minnelli was there. We did some discussion on the road projects and how that was coming along. And the segment I'd like to talk to about this week on this road bond issue would be the segment in John's area, the Wymore Liberty and the South 66. So maybe John could address that.
Well, certainly the Liberty to Wymore Road is a road in need of repair. The existing road shows the numerous patches and partial overlays that have been done in an attempt to keep it functional. It's past due for what's proposed, which is a milling down to a uniform surface and then a complete overlay for the length of the road. The South 66, those 2 miles, will complete a project. Those 2 miles have been prepped. The easements have been obtained and the utilities moved back some time ago in anticipation of it being paved. It will connect 5 miles of very good pavement that starts and ends as a gravel road, and it's the only blacktop in the county that starts and ends on gravel. The road counts for these roads, for the Liberty Road and the South 66 Road, are quite similar.
Okay, thank you. Also, our new grader was delivered last week. It's being used on the Beatrice route, basically Hickory Road, which is a high maintenance road, and throughout the county roads around Beatrice. Galen got a quote on this angle broom and planing head for our skid loader. He got 3 quotes, and actually the bid came in at $19,700. So he went ahead and purchased that equipment. Have been advertising for a mechanic. Kind of hard to come by, but we're still looking for. We need that. We lost a mechanic here probably a month and a half ago. He moved on out, so we're looking for another mechanic and. Two main items, it'll be coming up on discussion agenda items here in just a little bit. Oh, also, Monday afternoon at 1:30, Deborah and a few other county officials had a utilities meeting for the Hickory Road project, and that went well. So,
89th Coke Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to keep them different. Yeah, it connects to Hickory, but it's the 89th Coke Road.
Yeah.
And maybe we should let's go on the agenda here
because it's relative to that, would be approved. Next thing on the agenda is I need a motion to approve or disapprove the MOU between Koch Industries and Gage County for the 89th Road Project. Roger has reviewed this. Again, we met. Well, that's, I need a motion to approve or disapprove.
So moved.
Moved by Dorn to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Let's have some discussion here. Again, this agreement's kind of bounced back and forth between Roger and Koch's legal counsel and their engineer and our highway department for
and Jeff Wagner.
Ad nauseum. And
well,
Jeff Wagner.
Yeah.
So it's gone. Maybe speak to that, Roger.
Well, just we've had several emails back and forth, basically tweaking things, if you will. The document before you is a culmination of those meetings, and they've gone well. I mean, when issues have come up, they've been addressed, and we had a couple of concerns. I think I sent out an email that I feel they've been addressed, the remaining concerns. And I think the highway department, you know, as far as those, you know, on the billing thing, when we get our contractor, assuming the board approves this MOU, then we'll do make sure we stay on top of the billing, so that'll take care of any potential problems that may come as far as unanticipated problems, put it that way. And so I think it's been a good, you know, working relationship with Koch Nitrogen and getting this matter done. And I everybody, there's just been so much discussion, it's like it's going to appear that, you know, we're taking action on a virtually a $500,000 contract here, but there's a, you know, a reimbursement to the county for the road. So basically it's a mutual benefit situation for the parties concerned, including Gage County.
Okay. Any more discussion? Again, this has to do with moving the road in front of the plant now west on land they've Koch has purchased. We will be letting bids and contracting to have the road moved, and they'll basically be reimbursing the county for this expense. Manelli Wagner, as our consulting engineer, has been actively involved in the entire process, providing consultation to us and helping Roger as well as with Koch Industries. So. Okay, so I have a motion and a second to approve the MOU. Any further discussion?
On the back couple pages there, Manelli Wagner included their part or whatever, and that, too, is being picked up by Koch or whatever, but that was their bill for their work with this project.
Need to get the Moyne guy to go to Thursday.
Yes, Gary.
On the second page, it talks about liquidated damages. You guys want to cover that a little bit in open session, please?
Sure. And again, there's some provisions. That's not unusual for a construction contract such as this. The way we'll protect that is, number one, when we sign our agreement with a contractor, assuming this is approved and we let bids, we'll have the same provisions. So if there's a problem caused by, it wouldn't be caused by the county, it'd probably be our contractors having some problems with delays. They're going to face the same music that is in our memorandum of understanding. So that does protect the county.
Okay.
Yeah, Gary, there's been quite a bit of discussion about that part of that in committee and everything, and when Mark Manelli was here too, and that these specifications will be included in the bids for the contractor in that bid package that goes out. This will be included in there, and Mark was okay with it. Roger's okay with it. So, because that was a lot of the questions we had too. Well, why are we going to be held responsible for something if it's not done on time? But it's been addressed.
Right. Well, we're not sitting in at the committee level.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't ask now, then what are we agreeing to that we don't know about?
That's right. Yeah.
One other thing I would add to that is I spoke with Jeff Wagner yesterday morning and wanted to be sure that the time frame that we have in this memorandum of understanding to complete the project is sufficient. We're not jamming up. And he agreed there's plenty of time there. So, and again, there's exceptions in there for, you know, forces of nature, those types of situations. But And again, he's the engineer, so if he tells me, he and Galen say it can get done within that time frame, I'm good with that. Because I don't know anything about road construction.
And there was also listed in here that something about for the wetlands, and that is with the DEQ or whatever, so that if their okay doesn't come by a certain time, then this backs the whole thing up, that we're not responsible because of some approval that hasn't been received or whatever, that those guidelines are in here too, the DEQ and that. Well, it's not the wetlands, it's on the west side of the project, one area there that they have to give their okay for.
Is that the Corps that had to look at that?
The Corps, not the DEQ. The Corps of Engineers. I was wrong. Yeah. Not the DEQ. The Corps of Engineers, they have to look at that. And that's something that they're still waiting on. Everybody has met. All the parties involved have met with that. And you're assuming some things that's going to get done and get and happen, but we don't know whether that's coming this week or with the Corps. It might be a period of time before that comes, so...
So, and just to reiterate, at the utilities meeting, there was representatives from Norris, Windstream, the engineer Hutton, I believe, out of Wichita, I think. They're out of for Koch Nitrogen. There's representatives from Koch Nitrogen. The general manager was there. Jeff Wagner from Manelli Wagner was there. And so all parties are very sensitive to the timeline, making sure every duck is in a row. And, of course, it's construction, so you never know what's going to happen. But there's a lot of folks planning to try and get all the dates and things on the right timeline. To move it forward.
Don't see no dates.
It's September 2nd, right here.
Okay.
405 is September 2nd.
Yeah.
And what we're referring to is 4.05 there. The date is in there that'll be done by September 2nd. Weather exceptions permitting and providing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer permit is approved by June 25th.
And that's the only permit we're waiting on is a core permit.
That's what they talked about, I think. Is that correct? Yesterday?
That's the only one. Yep.
Or do we need to say all permits are obtained by that date? If that's the only one that's out there, why?
I think that's the only one that's out there.
Only one. Okay. All right.
I guess in relation to that, Matt, the only other question I would have is that Manelli and Wagner, I guess, are comfortable with, after we approve this MOU and we go out to get a contractor, we're going to find a contractor that's going to be agreeable to those same clauses.
Well,
because we're signing it today, so.
We're signing it today, but there's also provision in there basically for whatever reason it comes in over the amount that we're projecting as far as the estimate of this matter or this project, then we have the opportunity we can step back. I would anticipate if that happened, we're going to meet with Koch and bring some other action before this board.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll work with us, but we're signing it today.
Right. No, good question.
Well, provided we approve it, we're signing it today.
Okay. Good discussion. Any more? Deborah, you were there. Anything you think relative to this item that's relevant to bring up now? If we forgot something or need to add?
Add is that we may have to, when we actually post for the contractor and give notice for bids, that's going to be off of the schedule for the Board of Supervisors a little bit.
And I'll bring that up.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
Yep. That is it.
Okay. No? All right. I have motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve the MOU with Koch Nitrogen. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove specifications and calling for bids on the construction and grading and concrete paving project known as Beatrice Northwest, C-34-1026. And this is related. This is the calling for bids for that project that we just voted on with the MOU. That's what that project is for. So we want to call for bids, and then they will be let or show up in media tomorrow. Is that correct? Is that Friday? So they'll show up Friday. So I need a motion to approve or disapprove calling for bids.
I make a motion to approve calling for bids.
by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve, call in for bids. The next thing relative to calling for those bids is we'll open those at our 29th meeting, May 29th meeting. And so those will show up in the paper on the 17th. And so 2 weeks later to open those, we need to have a special meeting on the 31st. We only need five. Basically what we're going to do is we'll open those on the 29th. Those will go to the Highway Department and Manelli Wagner to look at and make sure everything's in place, and then they'll bring the recommendation back to us, and then we could, you know, we can set that time. That'd be the only thing on the agenda, and we're basically just awarding that to move the project. Just because of how we have to open them, we didn't want to open them on the 29th, not give them enough time to go through and look at them and say, here, take a half hour. We want them to go through them, make sure they're going to meet the specifications, and then have a special meeting on the 31st. So not discouraging anyone from being here, but if we can get that meeting on the 31st, that'd be the only thing the Manelli Wagner, the Highway Department would come. Now, they would look at, Hutton's going to look at those as well. Maybe come speak to this, Deborah, please. Kind of fumbling through it, sorry.
Deborah Brown with Highway Department again. Yes, they will look at those bids when we get those on the 31st. Then that 2 weeks, they will review them and bring back a recommendation for the board to approve one of the bids on the 12th of June.
We'll open the bids on the 29th, and we need a special meeting on the 31st.
The bids will not be here until the 31st. We have to give by
that's why the special meeting, because they're going to open.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I knew I had that backed up.
We have to have exactly 2 weeks. Yeah, no.
So
the 31st and the time. I'll just need to know a time so I can put that in my notice. So it'll go out today.
If we had a. And it's just the private industry out there. When they put their notices out there, now that we've approved it, if Deborah ran down right now and the paper didn't come out until 9:35, we'd be okay. It's just the timeline of when our meeting is, when we can publish notice, and when they need it to get
that
it in
correct.
Through the publishing process. And so that's why we approve it. Thank you for straightening me out. Post on Friday the 17th, then we need to open those bids on the 31st. They will review them, and then it'll come back for approval. So it's just opening those bids on the 31st, not approving them. Sorry.
That is correct.
Yes.
I was planning on being out of town the 31st, but I can be here if we do it early in the morning. Not that it's a big deal, but I mean, it is a big deal, but I mean.
Me also.
It makes a difference on time frame then when Deb would have to have them into her office, you know, when you could, you know.
Any time that morning on the 31st is fine. Anytime. I just need to know so I can put it in the notice.
And we're just accepting and opening bids. We're not approving any. We have to convene as a body to open those bids in that time frame. So,
but we need to have five of us there, you're saying?
That's a quorum.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is let's do it as early in the morning as possible, because I can make it to where I can be here that day if it's early in the morning.
Real early,
like 8:15. I mean, is that
eight o'clock
5:15
a.m.
a.m.
So that's
all right. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
That's when they'll be due and open.
Wait a minute here. Your special meeting is going to be called for when? What time? 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. But you're not open until 8.
Bids after that, because you have to do your process of opening your meeting.
Right.
So you'd open bids at like 8:15 or something. I mean, yeah, because you have to give them. I mean, yeah, you still need that day for them to be able to deliver.
Whatever you give, they have up until that time to stamp them in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And get them.
Because you open at 8, so we probably should have, where are they going to be due to? They got to be in an office.
Right, at Don's office.
We ought to close bids at 8:05, so they've got time, because if they're sitting outside the door and they can't get in.
Well, whatever time you have opened is when they have to have a stamp by. So if it's 8:15 and they're here at 8:14 and we stamp it in, that's accepted.
Okay.
So
the meeting will start at 8. We will open the bids at 8:15.
And you want them due?
You got 15 minutes, because that's the only thing on your agenda.
Right.
Maybe we just start the meeting at 8:15.
Time. What do we think we need for
You can do 8:05, 8:10. You can set it whatever you want, but we just have to have them.
Davey always has the doors open.
But if my office isn't open till 8, they can't.
Sorry.
So it'll be posted or stamped after that.
Is he coming in that day or what?
No, we're usually here, but what I'm saying is the official time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
8:10 and open at 8:15. Okay, got it.
Is that acceptable to folks? That's the only thing. Again, we'll just be taking action to opening the bids. We won't be approving them. Thank you for correcting me, because we want them to review them, and we didn't want them to do it at the same meeting.
Then they can approve on the 12th of June.
And then we'll approve on the 12th.
We have to publish a meeting.
Does that give you enough time, Princess?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so we'll do that day. Okay, so we've approved the MOU. We've approved the calling for bids. We have our special meeting date set. And I'm sure I'm going to have to be reminded of what that, now that I'm thoroughly confused with. Are you going to open the doors at 7:55 if I get here?
Would we do 8:10?
Open before that.
Oh, now she's here before 8. Okay.
The published time for the public is 8 o'clock, so you don't confuse people.
All right, picking on the clerk. All
yes,
right, Bill.
Are.
Bill Demuth, I believe.
Okay.
Beating everybody else up today, I suppose. Listen to Bill. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Bill Demuth. I'm Executive Director of Engage. I'm here to give Engage's first quarter report for 2013. Does anyone not have a copy of that?
I don't have it with me, but I did. I did read it. I have seen it.
I have copies if anyone would like one.
That's the same one you had at the city council the other.
Yep.
Okay, so I've seen it.
Okay, good. Well, as I mentioned, I'll just say what the format we're using for these quarterly reports has changed a little bit. And within our work plan, there's 7 strategic objectives, and I hope that. As we move forward, you continue to become more familiar with those objectives, because that's what we think about and what gives us direction as far as what actions we take throughout our normal work day. And so a couple that I'd like to point out, probably we've had in this last quarter the most focus on, would be number one. 3, which is keeping track of who's here and hoping they stay here, and then also we've done quite a bit with time from time to on the physical appearance, and I sort of reclassify that as if you take something that is old or dated and you convert it into something new, that improves the physical appearance of an area. And the Village of Adams project is a perfect example of that, an old gas station that was cleaned up. Now there'll be a new facility added to that. And if Project Lou continues to move down the path it is, that should improve something that wasn't an eyesore, but it certainly is an improvement. A couple of things I'd like to point out that happened since the city council report is, one, Beatrice High School, Beatrice High School system should be proud. Newsweek announced that they're one of the top 2,000 high schools in the country, and I think that bodes well for something they can build on and continue to grow on. And we've been involved in some things that I think over the long term will benefit the area, taking a little different approach. Academics are taken care of during the school day. We're looking at things we can do outside the school day to give relevance to what they're learning. So I won't go into the details of that, but at some time, if you'd like to talk about that, I certainly welcome that. And we're working closely with the school system
and some of the other partners that they have that branch out throughout the area. A couple things on business and industry. I've made a couple existing industry calls, found out a couple interesting things. One we probably already know. Soft skills is something that continues to be a challenge for one of the employers, meaning come to work, be ready to work, and continuing to come to work, and teamwork and a few other things. And the thing I'll point out about that is I was at a conference last week, and there was a consultant there on education, and he brought that up. I said, well, he said, you know, I've been around the country and around the world and have identified what these challenges are. And I said, well, what are they? And then I said, well, what's the solution to getting those skills? That's where there seems to be a disconnect. And hopefully some of what we're doing up in number one over the long term, we can improve upon that. Because I've heard about soft skills for a long time, so it's not new. But everybody likes to talk about them, but they don't like to come up with a solution to them. Those that do will have a better future than those that don't. So off the stump on that one. Interesting idea out there. There's a company, large company, that's willing to do some work sharing. In other words, when they have a slow time, if another employer would like to hire those folks, they're willing to work with that employer. And there's some other details that are positive that they're willing to do. So I was very impressed with some innovative thinking on the part of that employer, which is positive to know and something we can certainly promote and also work with other employers on. And I've mentioned that to a couple. So there's some good thinking going on out there. I guess I would conclude with on the existing business, there's probably going to be some activity in the near future with some of the existing business that's here. It's nice to see a company like Koch Industries step up and provide scholarships to Southeast Community College for applicants, and then also see their involvement. And I've only been here 9 months, so I don't know what their involvement has been in the past, but it seems to be positive. So it's nice to see large industries like that get involved because they're sponsoring some events, and they understand they strongly encourage their employees to live within a certain distance of their plants, which is a positive. So they're doing some of our job, and we like to see people live in Gage County. So I don't think, unless there's something over on this side, that we are looking still for an assistant webpage update, and Prospect is picking up. Did not go to the trade show and expend the $2,000. Couldn't justify it. Calls weren't available that I felt needed to be set up to go. And I also just looked through the International Food Trade Show worked through that floor plan. Probably evaluated about 52 companies, contacted about 12. Not seeing any reason to go there either, but we're at least getting our name out to those companies, and I am keeping a file to keep track of them. So saving time and money and energy. So it's but the same purpose is being accomplished, which is to identify companies that may be a good fit for Beatrice, Gage County, and if they're interested or we can, if they make sense to us, we'll certainly get in touch with them. So that's what I have to report. If there's any questions, I'd welcome them now.
I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but could you speak to the relationship of building? I know when there was an absence of an economic development group,
in Gage County. Some of the contacts with NDED and NPPD, those were gone, and just the chronological age of the folks that were there have just kind of moved on. Faces have changed. Organizations have changed. How is that relationship moving forward?
I think it's very strong. Very strong. I just attended a conference in Kearney where there were a group of DED economic development representatives there. I can go up and shake all of their hands. They know me by my first name. They will talk to me. Even one asked me when I'm going to let my hair down. Sorry, I don't drink. So that's, but also Catherine Lang, the director of economic development. I think we've established a good relationship with her. She sees me; she recognizes me immediately. I don't contact her. I'm getting close to contacting her on one particular item. If I don't get some answers from some of her staff, because there's some opportunities in terms of better using funds that currently exist in this county that could be more flexible if we could do something. But I'm being patient. Some previous experiences tells me to do that. NPPDD or NP. Nebraska Public Power District, very good relationship. Talked with Rick Nelson that Thursday night, and Keith Ellis. We talk all the time. He's coming down, as a matter of fact, on Friday to listen to the presentation that Dawson County will be making. So we have, and when I have not once contacted them where they haven't responded within about a 48-hour period of time for some data that we need. So real good relationships there. Same with Southeast Nebraska Development District. They are very positive. I hear from Kevin Bernison within 48 hours, usually 24. And the two groups that represent regions in this Southeast Nebraska area, we have a good working relationship with them. It could be enhanced if we spent some money, but I don't know. I'm a little conservative, and I think we'll eventually do that. But because my board will probably make me do that. that's probably, so we have that too. When I contact them, as a matter of fact, got a lead from one of the regions that we don't belong to yet, but real positive.
Thank you. Any more questions for Bill? Thank you.
Thank you.
Great day. Yep. I see her out there. We're going to give a report on Public Defender's report. I need a motion to put Bill's report on file, please.
So moved.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Dorn. Vote.
Thank you.
7-0 to place on file. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm sending around third and fourth quarter reports from 2012. And I'm basically, in summary, first of all, I'll introduce myself. There's some new faces. I'm Stephanie Clark. I'm the public defender for Gage County. I'm sending around third quarter 2012 and fourth quarter 2012. And we were down a little bit for third quarter, up a little bit for fourth quarter. As it usually does, it averages out over the course of the year. I'll go over just briefly the format I use for these reports. The felonies are the high-level cases, the cases that someone can spend a year or more in prison. Those are usually the lowest number that we have at any given time, but they take the most amount of time because of the seriousness and the penalty that our client is facing. The misdemeanor cases always have a large number of those. Those are the DUIs, the misdemeanor assaults, driving under suspension, the lesser crimes. Juvenile cases can be anything from 15-year-old kid who won't go to school to parents who cause some sort of injury potentially to their child. So those can be pretty short and to the point on one end and pretty involved on the other. Miscellaneous cases, we get appointed for child support contempts, child support establishment occasionally, Board of Mental Health cases, extradition. And then the withdrawal category, those are the cases we've had to withdraw from that quarter. Usually it's due to a conflict of interest. There is currently a cap of 35 open felonies for my office. And then the last category, it's kind of a little made-up Gage County word, AMFROP, which is a motion to revoke probation. And that's a term that I think Judge Tim coined. So those are our numbers for third and fourth quarter. Nothing terribly exciting. They're up one quarter, down the next. It averages out over the course of the year. And I'll send around a year total graph as well. And you'll see when you get that, again, as I've said, it's going to show you the last 10 years. Overall, it stays pretty steady. We had a few years that were high. 2007 was an all-time high. But the rest of the years have stayed pretty steady. It looks like 2005, 2007, and then again 2011 were a little elevated. But usually, if we have a high year, it usually comes back down to about what we expect. And then finally, I'll have the first quarter of 2013. And again, there are no surprises there. It's stayed pretty steady. I did visit with Roger last week because I guess our contract will expire at the end of June. So I believe that I'll have a proposal to Roger by the end of the week for another two-year contract. But I believe the statute requires that there be a committee appointed to review the contracts or to review the proposed contract.
That's correct. In the past, I think the last committee was Jim Nelson, Jamie Renshaw, and
Ryan Reese. And I usually sit down with them, review it, and then Jim makes a recommendation to the board.
That's very helpful because the committee reviews, like, what other counties similar to Gage are doing or have been doing in the last couple of years. So it gives you some direction as to what the contract, where it should be.
And I would be happy to answer any questions if anyone has any. Yes.
Question. I don't know where it's at the legislature, but I know Roger and I have spoken about this, and Gary and I have spoken with the probation office about that. There's legislation dealing with, if I get the terminology correct, local placement of juveniles for probation. And I don't know what LB number it
right.
is. I don't know where that's at, if it's in committee, if it's out. How will that affect, and what, and Roger, if you could speak to how that affects putting juveniles in a community versus in an institution. How will that affect this, if at all?
And again, there's a basic overview of what's being attempted. Right now, we go through our juvenile system. We try sometimes admonishment, sometimes the Department of Health and Human Services working on a voluntary case basis. And we have 1184 meetings in which every month we go through these things and review where the families are that may be at risk or identified at risk and try and head it off before it gets into the court system. Basically, there's been a movement here recently to dealing with, like, crossover youth. In other words, they're both delinquent and having some problems at home. And right now, I would say down here, at least in Gage County, we've got a real good working relationship between probation and HHS. They communicate. Then if we do get into court, we're working with a lot of it with the Public Defender's Office through the Eyes of a Child Initiative, which was set up several years ago by the Chief Justice and Governor Heinemann. And we have enough people working with us in that regard that we can resolve things here without having a major problem. Now, Lancaster and Douglas, obviously sheer numbers, it's unwieldy for them. So I think you're seeing the legislation being proposed to try to react to those situations. Unfortunately, we're getting drug into it. And part of that program would be to eliminate Kearney, YRTC, Kearney, which is the youth treatment center out in Kearney, and the one in Geneva. And their idea is to bring back, or actually never leave. Mm-hmm. We're just going to keep the kids here that are having problems and deal with them. And you will see my reluctance on that. And I'm not afraid. It's a pass the buck, literally. You know, keep them in Beatrice, keep them in Gage County. You deal with them, you pay for it. On a lot of those situations. So I'm a little bit hesitant. I'm still reviewing it. As far as the legislature, I've heard pros and cons. There's a big push for this. And I don't know where Lincoln Omaha is, but you can guess if they're happy with it or want to move it, it's going to move. I don't think it's going to impact us a heck of a lot as far as the public defender.
No, I don't think so either. We're not talking about juvenile detention necessarily. We're talking about treatment facilities. I mean, we have treatment opportunities, Blue Valley. We've got other treatment opportunities in the area. We've got foster home placements. We've got agency-based foster care. There would be some youth that I think it would be very, very difficult to treat in the community. But
that's what I would wonder. I mean, those places are already being utilized that you all mentioned.
Yes, they are.
And it's the ones that can't be treated in those areas or so difficult that end up going to Kearney, and something else is going to have to be in place for that. And
if you're in Lincoln or Omaha,
it's easy to do.
There's a lot more choices. If you're in Beatrice, we don't have as many options. So
we're close.
We are close.
Lincoln and Omaha, because we have a lot of our youth that are go to Lincoln and Omaha for services, which is great. The community-based situation, a lot of times the kids move out either foster home or something like that. Everything goes well. They get straightened out and things are going well. And of course, the initiative is to get the kids back in the home as quickly as possible or keep them in the home with services. That's our directive, and, those in the juvenile system, that's what we work on. Unfortunately, sometimes they come back to their environment and get right back into it. And that's part of the process. I mean, those of us that work in the juvenile system, sometimes we talk about one step forward, two steps back, and realizing that's still a success in some cases. So.
And there are usually a multitude of issues. Even if at first it looks like the issue is not going to school. Well, a lot of times there's several things behind that. There might be substance abuse. There might be problems with the parents. There might be domestic violence. There can be a lot of issues once you get involved in a juvenile case. So
I just was looking at the percentage of juvenile, and I realize there's different levels of juvenile, but 25% roughly of the caseload is juvenile, and if, not saying they would all reoffend, not saying they're throwaway children, but as they come back, they're not in an institution, they're back in the environment that you spoke of. Is there a high propensity to reoffend, and then that number goes up? I just was curious, looking forward as a contract's coming forward.
Probably only 15% maybe of the juveniles that we have end up getting placed out of the home for their own behavior. We may have some other young children that are placed in foster care because of the parents not being able to care for them. But I would say maybe 15% of the kids that come in for an assault or truancy or something, a theft, probably only about 15% end up getting placed either in foster care or in Kearney. At least that's just me thinking of the cases I've got going, and it's not a huge percentage that end up being out of the home.
And some of those are relative placements. That's the first priority, that we try and find appropriate relatives, so the kids' lives are disrupted the least. And I would be remiss not saying the schools are very helpful working with us, sharing information, providing suggestions as to how best to deal with a particular family. Because as Steph says, it's not, you know, I may focus on a truancy, and I have been more aggressive as far as doing these juvenile cases since I took office. I just, you know, you got to do something to try and impact youth that are having trouble. Otherwise, they just move into the adult court and things get a lot worse.
Thank you. Questions for Stephanie?
I got a question. These are cases you open. So about how many, I mean, it shows there you did 300 and some a year, but how many do you have, I guess, ongoing or you know, I mean.
You know, I should sometime just count. We almost always have at least 30 felonies going, and a couple of times a year we do get over that 35 cap, and they go to other council. But I would say between Lee, the other attorney, and I, including the juvenile cases, I'd say we probably have 100 open cases at any time. I mean, I could go through and count, and that would be a good idea just to give me a, but I would say we probably have around 35 felonies, probably around 35 misdemeanors, 30. Those usually move pretty quickly. Those are usually done within 3 or 4 months, sometimes a little longer. But the juvenile cases can last for, you know, a couple years. You might not have court on them all the time. You might only have court every 4 to 6 months. But there are cases, I'm thinking of one juvenile case right now that it's probably been going on for every bit of 2 years. So, and then there's a few cases that are juvenile cases, a truancy case. We meet with the client once or twice. We go to court once. It's taken care of. So I would estimate around 100.
All right.
Okay.
Gary?
I would move to place the three quarterly reports on file, the third and fourth quarter from 2012 and first quarter from 2013.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Hill. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 to approve. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Steph.
I have one last thing, just kind of an update here. Won't go into any details, but FOP, the agreement that we have, we visited with, we've sent that out to the committee. It's gone to Jerry Pigsley for review, given that to the FOP representative, Deputy Schley. He's reviewing that with the FOP, and then get back to us as how they feel about it. I know we've worked pretty close with them. Look for that to be on the agenda. I'll have Dawn send out to the non-committee members the final version. I know Gus has looked at it. I believe he's okay with that. So we'll look for that coming up for board action, barring anything changing. But we're just kind of in a holding pattern right now. Don't have any more meetings scheduled. They're just looking over it. We'll go from there. Just want to give you an update on that process.
I think we all have a building grounds meeting on Friday the 24th at 9 o'clock just to bring things up to date and meet with Dave Jones. And so make sure we're all on top of everything. So Building Grounds Committee, the 24th, 9 o'clock. Are we meeting finance at 9 or 9:30 now?
9:30.
Okay, I noticed on one of the
since you brought up the committee meeting on the 24th, our next committee meetings, because of Memorial Day, will be, I have to look at the calendar there.
On the 24th.
They'll all be on.
I'll be on the 24th.
They'll all be on the 24th. Never mind. Okay.
We'll be out of town on the 24th.
So what time are you having Buildings and Ground then? Yeah,
I had it at 9, but I don't think that's going to work. So I have finance at 9, so why don't we have Buildings and Grounds at 10?
Yeah, okay. Finance at 9:30 and Buildings and Ground at 10.
And this is not an absolutely imperative meeting. I think it's just good to come together and have Dave bring us up to date. There's no emergencies on this at all. So 10 o'clock then on the 24th, and we'll have finance at 9?
9:30. Unless Terry is going to get road and bridge done by 9, but
we haven't had a good track record of that.
No.
Don't put that on me now.
No. It's your meeting.
I've used every chair out in the waiting area. I promise you I have.
So committee meeting is on the 24th.
Yep.
Any other thoughts, ideas?
Oh, I got one more quick. I forgot to bring up a Saturday out at the fairgrounds out there where the Midway's at. The RC&D is having their electronics recycling event from I should have brought
one.
The flyer along.
9 to 1.
9 to 1, yeah. Don passed on a flyer and everything to everybody. So most things I'll accept. I think there's a couple things will be a small fee on, but otherwise.
I think there was a $20 fee, I believe, for TVs. But.
For TVs or something. There was a small fee, but yeah. So they've had some real good success in some of the other communities around the southeast part of the state and stuff, so getting quite a bit of stuff.
Finance Committee received any of those Parks and Recreation grant applications by the last Friday, and I meant to ask that. Nobody submitted any.
We didn't get any.
I don't think I have anything else.
Just a road bond, I think. Don, you come up with a date you're going to mail out the ballots, or
it'll probably be on the 24th.
Be on the 24th, and just so people in the county or as you're going around and visit with them, so that they're aware of that. So when they get the envelope in the mail, they just don't, you know.
Yeah, it won't be a full size ballot envelope. It'll be folded, and it'll be more of your larger letter size.
That was one of the complaints I heard on the last. When people had to mail in their ballots, was I have to put extra postage on this because it's a big envelope.
Yeah. On the general and the primary elections, you don't have a choice, but on a special, if it's an issue, you know, that just changed in the last couple of years, and we could do a short ballot, which saves us 3 cents a ballot.
Adds up.
There's a drop box over here, too. Across from the parking lot. So
I believe in the last all-county mail election, we had 5,000 ballots come in on the drop box. So it was utilized very well.
Yeah. Anything else for the good of the order or the board supervisors? Seeing none, we will adjourn the Board of Supervisors 10:03.